horrible. It was just, I can't describe it. It was just really, really difficult.
Welcome to Wheel of Justice. I'm Lise Wheel. After four trials, Cal Harris was acquitted. You heard me right. Cal Harris was acquitted. We were able then to get Cal Harris and his lawyer, Bruce Barquette, and we spoke with both Cal and Bruce about the days of the trials, the days that Cal Harris was in prison, what it was like for Cal Harris and his four children during those days. If you haven't been following all of these episodes, go back right now to episode one and foxnewsradio.com. You'll want to catch up on all of these episodes. Why? Because after four trials, Cal Harris was acquitted. We're going to hear from Cal now. Cal, as you know, I've been doing this Wheel of Justice for the last year and following you on Wheel of Justice, and it's been quite a ride, you know, just following this. And of course, for you, my gosh, living this for 15 years now.
Yeah, it's been an unbelievable roller coaster. I mean, there have been some really low lows, and there have been some really high highs, and it just seemed like it was never ending. You know, the emotional, mental, physical stress has just been off the chart. You know, there's been, you know, good decisions, and where I thought I was going to be free, and then things get turned bad, and then I'm ripped away from my kids. You know, just the highs and lows of, I don't know if you could have any more highs and lows in a person's life than I've had in the last 15 years.
Cal, I have two kids, one 23, the other 19. I cannot imagine how it must have been for your kids to go through this. Not only have they lost their mom, but they see their dad going on trial again and again and again. How has that been for your kids through your eyes?
You know, it's been hard. It's been a nightmare. And I said it before, and I'll continue to say it. You know, no one on the face of this earth, especially in this country, should be treated the way that my kids and I have been treated by the New York State Police, Troop C, and the Tioga County District Attorney's Office. No one should have to be treated like this. And it's just been an absolute horror show. You know, I've been ripped away from my kids three different times. I got ripped away when I first got indicted. I had to go to jail for a month while I was trying to post bail. I got ripped away again in 2007 when I got convicted the first time. I spent 6 months in county jail, and then that conviction got overturned. And then I got ripped away a third time in 2009 for my second trial, and that one was the one that really hurt because I went to prison for 4 years. And then I have to come out and then go through two more trials, the one last year and then, of course, this last one, and all the media coverage and all the, you know, my kids are old enough now. They're 22, 20. 19 and 17. So, you know, they're on social media, you know, they see all the comments that people are making, and you know, it's just, it's been a horror show. No one should have to be treated this way. And I'm hoping that with Bruce's help that we can go after those people who are responsible and hold them accountable.
We'll talk about that in a minute, sort of what you're going to do next. But you just said that you were, you know, you had to go away for 4 years and all of this horrible thing happened to you, and your kids are now 22, 19, 17. What happened to the kids sort of on a day-to-day basis? I mean, who took care of them?
My father, God bless him, he's 88 years old. And when I went away in 2009, he had custody of the kids. So he was there, even though he was in his late 70s, early 80s. We did have help. We had a nanny there, and she helped. But it was hard. You know, even though they were there on a day-to-day basis, I was the father, and I had to be a parent while I was in prison. I would call home every day, every night, and I would talk to everybody, And, you know, those kids were getting older. They're becoming teenagers, you know, 12, 13, 14 years old. So 15, that's a difficult time. And, you know, I have to, I'm sitting in the, standing in the prison yard on a payphone with 200, you know, other inmates in the yard. And I'm trying to tell my kids that I love them and I'm there for them. And, look, you can't do this and you can't do that and you can't sneak out of the house and you can't, you know, whatever, you know, try to be a parent. It was, you know, just extremely difficult. It was just hard to describe.
So you had your father there living in, I'm assuming.
Yes, yes.
And the nanny there.
Yep, we had two nannies. We had some help, yes.
Were they allowed to visit you, by the way?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know, thank God for visitation. You could have visitation any day from, I think it was 9 o'clock in the morning till 3 o'clock in the afternoon, any day of the week, Monday through Sunday, holidays. They could come every day if they wanted to. But obviously they were 2 hours away, and they had school, and they had their other activities. So they would come on the weekends, and we would spend the day together. And, you know, that was hard because, you know, I just, as much as I tried to put up a good front and keep positive and strong for them, you know, when it came time for them to leave at 3 o'clock, I couldn't help it. I would just break down and lose it, you know, see them walking out that door. And, you know, it was just horrible. It was just... I can't describe it. It was just really, really difficult. And of course, I wanted to see them every day, but I knew that I couldn't do that. And then they, you know, as they got older, you know, they wanted to go with their friends for the day. They didn't want to drive up 2 hours and spend, you know, a day with me in a prison. You know, so there were times when they would, you know, go do their things and like normal kids. And I just tried to keep things as normal as possible. And, you know, the only thing I could do at the end of the day, and I think it's what held us together, is I just told them that I love them and that your mom loves you and that she would never leave you and that I would never leave you and we're going to fight this thing. It's not over. I always kept giving them hope despite the fact that we kept having setback after setback after setback after setback. I just said, keep positive. We're going to get through this. I love you guys. Know that I love you and I'm there for you no matter what. And that's really the only thing at the end of the day that I could do to keep us together, and thankfully it worked.
And how do you think they were treated at school? Do you think they were, you know, teased at school or ridiculed at school?
Well, there was some of that, but I have to tell you, one of the things that helped, that was prior to Michelle's disappearance, I was involved in that community, and I was heavily involved in the local boys and girls club, and I coached. I coached the youth lacrosse program there, and I coached all my kids up through that program from the time they were 5 years old to the time they were 12 years old. And so over a period of 20 years, and again, this is just prior to, not just, but a long time prior to Michelle disappearing, I was involved in these kids' lives and their friends' lives. I've coached hundreds and hundreds of kids in that community over the last 20-some years. And I will tell you, and this really never came out, the irony of this whole thing was I was coaching those kids even after I got indicted. I was coaching those kids up during and after I got convicted and released. Every trial that I was in, I was still coaching. In fact, the first and second trial, at the end of the day, when we would quit for the day, and I'd walk out of the courtroom, and there's cameras all over the place, and I'm on the evening news, and I'm in the front page of the paper. I would leave the courtroom and go right over to the Boys and Girls Club and coach my kids' teams. And there were parents there, and there was dozens and dozens of kids there, and we traveled to other places. And the people that know me knew that I wasn't responsible for this, because after being convicted twice, these parents would still let me interact with their kids. I would drive them home if they needed a ride. I would take them to the games if they needed a ride. So, you know, the majority of the population, there's 50,000 people in Tioga County. And the majority of those people only had one side and one opinion of me, which was very, very bad. But to get back to your question, when I got convicted the first time and the second time and my kids would go to school, there were a few problems. But I have to tell you, one of them happened in the cafeteria, and I, of course I wasn't there, but the way the kids describe it to me was that somebody say something to, I think it was Kayla, and, you know, something derogatory about me and killing their mother, and a whole bunch of kids jumped up and put this kid in his place and said, nope, don't even go there. Don't even go there. Not going to happen. You keep your mouth shut. Not going to go there. And I'll tell you, the support that we had, and only because I was involved in that community for so long, we, at one point, I said, we got to move. This is crazy. We got to move. We got to get out of here. And then it wound up that it was actually better to be in the eye of the storm and to have those kids in that village of Owego and to have them in the school district, because the students and the parents and the teachers and the administration were so helpful. That school was actually a place to go for them to go and get away because of all the things that were going on at the house and things that were going on with me. That school was an oasis for them. And I would try to say as much as I possibly can, I cannot thank that school district and the people in that school district enough for what they did to my kids, for my kids. And I would like to take all the credit, but I can't. My kids are what they are today because, you know, it truly does take a village to raise a child. And that community really stepped up, a good portion of the community, not everybody, but a good portion stepped up and really took care of my kids when I was away.
I have to ask you this question. Do you think your kids ever questioned whether you were guilty?
None of the kids have ever asked me that question. I never got any indication that they felt that way at any time. Now, keep in mind, they were young. They were, the time the show disappeared, they were 7, 6, 4, and 2. So, you know, I would expect something from maybe my two older children, Taylor and Kayla, who were 7 and 6. But I have never gotten any questions, any indication at all from them that they felt I was involved. And, of course, I told them, look, your mother loves you. We don't know what's happening. We are going to hope for the best and prepare for the worst. And that's what I said to them since day one. And, you know, just keeping the love, you know, I love you, your mom loves you, we're going to get through this, we're going to move forward, you know, we're going to try to get, you know, some answers, and we're just going to do the best we can. That's all I can do, you know. And, you know, they're good kids. They're all successful at what they do. They're good in school. They play sports. They're hard workers in the summer. They're good. Anybody who knows my kids, you know, knows that they are very, very fortunate to have known and know my kids and have them in their lives. They're good kids.
As of last week, after all of this time, you are now a free man, Cal Harris, and you have the whole rest of your life ahead of you with your kids. You have no trials ahead of you at all. So what are you going to do? You going to go back to work?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, I'm going to get my life back. I'm going to get my businesses back. There's no question. This is, you know, I'm not just going to, you know, fade away into the shadows. I'm going to get my life back. And my kids, you know, we're going to get our lives back together. We're going to start. Now we're in a position where we can start making plans with our future, you know, college and careers and, you know, all the normal things that people do, you know, with kids at this age. I'm going to be able to participate in their school activities and go to their sports games and, you know, all the normal things that people, you know. Look, I got robbed of the most important years of my kids. You know, when they're in that age between, you know, 7, 6, 4, and 2, when Michelle disappeared, right on up through the last 15 years, you know, especially those 3 times that I was ripped away, even though the first 2 times weren't that long, you know, 1 month, 6 months, the 3rd time was 4 years, you know, I was robbed, and those kids were robbed of their only parent, and, you know, we'll never get those back. Now, we'll try to make the most of it going forward, and we will, but like I said, nobody, myself and my children especially, should be treated the way we've been treated the last 15 years at the hands of New York State Police Troop C and the Tioga County District Attorney's Office. What they've done is just absolutely despicable, sickening what they did.
Coming up, we're going to hear from Cal and from Bruce about the next steps. Oh, it is not over for Cal. It is not over at all. Stay tuned for the next steps in the Cal Harris case. Till next time, I'm Lise Wheel.